Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. I don't even know why I say we're back at this point, because we're always here. It's not like we ever left. So, Lee, how you doing tonight, bro?
Yo, what up, bro? How you doing, man? I'm good, man. Been off the last 2 days. Go back to work tomorrow. So, you know, man, I'm just hanging in there, man. Got to recharge the batteries every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely have to do that. It's super easy to get burnt out. We know that. I mean,
yes,
I, and one thing to note is I just want to make this clear for you right now. I did eat dinner, so we're safe for this show. We are safe to go.
That is always an important contributing factor to us having a good show. Keys has to eat dinner before he does a show.
It's really true. It's really true. Because some of our earliest shows, I wouldn't eat before the show, and we would pay for it. As a group and me individually, I paid for it and we paid for it. You know,
yeah.
But I made sure this time. I made sure. And, you know, I'm just excited, and I'm just happy because this is a great time, you know, to be a fight fan. This is a great time. You know, I was saying this earlier this week on Twitter. This is such a great time to be a fight fan. If you wanted to put anybody on to combat sports, this is a great time to do it. And I don't have I don't know all the events that are happening. But I know off the top of my head, there is a plethora of great fights that are happening across boxing and UFC in the next 3, 4, 5, 6
weeks.
You know, in the next, like, probably in the next, like, 8 weeks, there are some great fights happening in boxing and UFC. There is some great fights happening. And there are some great fights brewing, too. So I was just looking at Twitter not long ago. Probably about an hour ago, I was just, you know, scrolling through Twitter, and I had noticed your boy, Terrence Crawford. Your boy, Terrence Crawford, we have talked about before on this show, and I believe you have praised, you have sung his praises a few times. And he put out a tweet, and he was saying how, you know, I would think this is a reference to, you know, him not being able to get the fights that he wants to get. There's a lot of big fights that Terrence Crawford wants to see, you know, he sees himself in, and that can't come to fruition. And we're going to get into that, you know, because, you know, I know a guy that he definitely wants to fight is fighting this weekend, Errol Spence Jr. Errol Spence Jr.
Actually,
is fighting on Saturday.
Actually, I think he want to fight both of those guys. I think Danny Garcia beat him when they was amateurs. So I think Bud Crawford would want to fight either one of those guys. But, you know, but, yeah, like you said, it's a big fight this weekend between Spence Jr. and Garcia, man.
Yeah, I mean, Terrence Crawford put out a tweet, like I said, probably an hour ago, and he was saying, you know, probably a reference to not being able to get the contract signed for the fights he wants. He was saying, like, you know, I'm a hungry man, and they just don't want to see me eat. That's what he wrote on Twitter. He said, I'm a hungry man, and they just don't want to see me eat.
And man, it's just sad that boxing promoters, they have no regard to the fan. It's like, everybody always talk about we want to get the fans the fights they want to see, but when it comes to boxing, they could care less what the fans want to see, you know, because it's all about their promotion and the fighters on their promotion. It ain't about making the best fights. Now, I can't lie, PBC do have a stable of welterweights over there, but what do you do when they don't fought each other? I mean, because basically, if you look at Keith Thurman is basically the odd man out right now, because he fought Pacquiao, he fought Garcia, he fought Sean Porter. The only one he hasn't fought is Errol Spence. So what he just lost to Pacquiao. So you think Errol Spence is going to rush to fight Keith Thurman? No, that's not going to happen. So then if you look at Sean Porter has fought Errol Spence, Danny Garcia, and Keith Thurman. The only one he hasn't fought yet is Manny Pacquiao. So it's like, what is PBC going to do once all these guys have fought each other? You have to start putting your Keith Thurmans and your Sean Porters, you got to start putting them in fights against Terrence Crawford. You have to do it. Because who knows how long Manny Pacquiao is going to fight. So the business of boxing, once again, is bad for the sport of boxing. And that's not a cliche. I know I say it a lot. It's not a cliche. It's the truth.
And you said that a while ago, too. You've been saying that for a while. By the way, Evan, I know Evan's in here. I didn't get to introduce Evan into the show. Well, not introduce, but not to say hello to him in the show. Evan, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Oh, man. Good, Evan, man. Hey, you know what, man? Hold up. Before we go any further, you know, last week was Thanksgiving, right? How was you guys' Thanksgiving, man?
Very good.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Bringing that up. Hey, Keys had, you know, I told you I ate dinner tonight, but apparently I missed some calories in my dinner because I completely forgot about Thanksgiving. I went right over Thanksgiving, right into the show. I hit the ground running, and I went right into talking boxing, which, I mean, is not a bad thing, but I completely forgot to ask you guys how your Thanksgiving was. Evan, I'm glad to hear you had a good Thanksgiving, bro.
Thank you, thank you. No, it was nice. It's kind of sad, but I was actually by myself for Thanksgiving, but very thankful to
–
Yeah, it's a long story, but no, I had a good one. I enjoyed I had a nice Thanksgiving meal. I enjoyed some back-to-back rock movies, and it was very good.
Well, my Thanksgiving was good. You know, I had all my kids here, my four kids, my four grandkids. So it was a good time, man. You know, due to COVID, a lot of people probably couldn't be with their families or celebrate with their families. But, you know, I was lucky enough to have all my kids and my grandkids here. So, you know, we had a good time, man. You know, anytime you can get with your family, man, is always great. But, you know, it's the holiday season, and this is time that, you know, especially 2020, that you should be enjoying the company of your family, man. Girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other, you know, wife, husband, you know, just even if it's just your friends, your buddies that you kick it with, don't try to at least have some company, you know what I'm saying? It keeps the mind strong.
Yeah, no, I'm totally on board with that. I mean, like I said at the end of the last show, like, you know, when I was wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving, you know, I had like a disclaimer at the end of the show and I had just thrown out there that I know, you know, there was a lot of politics involved this year with the holidays. And what I meant by that was COVID and, you know, how people, you know, there's a large majority of people out there that feel a certain way that, you know, not everybody was going to be able to see their family or they were going to be able to, and there was going to be, you know, a majority of people that were going to have something to say about it and thinking that, you know, people shouldn't see their family on, you know, this holiday season because of the pandemic. But that's what I meant by that when I said there was some politics involved. But, you know, I said either way, have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, however, you know, however you are able and however you want to. That's what I said because and that's what I was getting at with that. You pretty much just dived right into what I was trying to say. So thank you. And I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving too, Lee. You know, some people this year may have not been able to see all their loved ones or they chose not to see their loved ones. I personally saw my immediate family. I made sure that I saw both my parents. I mean, I don't live with both of my parents, so I made sure I went to my dad's house to go see him. And then that's what it is. So, and that's what that was always going to be. So, you know, I, like you said, I'm glad you said that, Lee, because that's the way I feel. This time of year is for seeing your family. And, yeah, I'm just glad, you know, I had a good Thanksgiving. I'm glad you both had a good Thanksgiving, you know, in each of your own way.
Yeah, man, you know, but you know, man, let's jump into it, man. You know, what's on your mind tonight, bro?
So we didn't get to finish talking about what we were talking about. So we had to just get to Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia. So one thing that I don't know about this fight, and I might have to fact check it real quick. I imagine this fight is for a belt or possibly
yep.
multiple belts. You know what
yep,
belts
are on
the line
Spence,
for this fight?
It's for Errol Spence's belts.
And what belts does he hold?
He's a welterweight, WBA, WBO. I think he has two belts. But both his belts are on the line Saturday.
Okay. So he might have two welterweight titles?
I think he has two, and I think Terrence Crawford has another one.
You mean Danny Garcia?
And Pacquiao. Garcia doesn't have a belt.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to get to, because for the fight this weekend, I was just looking at, because I know some of these boxing fights, both guys will have a belt, and it'll be, you know, it's different than UFC where if a champion versus champion fight happens in the UFC, you know, it's only one belt that's on the line. They don't put all the belts on the line. But, you know, sometimes in boxing they do. That's why I was asking you. But you already clarified that because you said Garcia doesn't hold any belts.
Nope. The four title
okay,
holders
so then
are Spence has two, Crawford has one, and Pacquiao has one.
Okay.
Ain't that ridiculous? Only boxing, man.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
Man, boxing.
How this four? Oh, okay. Is it because there's four champions so there's four welterweight champions? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, there are four welterweight champions, bro. You got the WBO, the WBC, the WBA, and I want to say the IBF. You have four champions, man. And it's ridiculous that you got four champions in one weight division. But, you know, man, that's just how boxing is. Boxing is probably one of the most awful round sports because the athletes don't take charge of their careers. It's outside of Floyd Mayweather. And it's just a shame, man.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I just needed you to, in that moment, I just needed you to simplify that for me because when you first said it, I didn't understand that they were all champions in the same weight division. Can you still, you're still teaching me about boxing here. I'm still a boxing novice. I'm still a boxing novice, okay? And I'll probably still be a novice for a while. So you got to give me some time. You
got
to break it down
that's okay. I
into
got
the simplified versions. You know what I mean? The simplified versions of it.
That's okay. I got you, Evan. I'll hold y'all down, man. You know, I'll hold y'all down in the boxing world.
Because I'm starting to learn. I'm going to watch the fights. I'm going to watch the boxing card this weekend. So I'm going to be paying attention to that closely. And I'm going to be watching UFC also, so I'm probably going to switch back and forth. Or if I get lucky, you know, the UFC might end as the boxing is starting. And that's what happened one of the last cards when they had who fought? They had Mayweather's fighter.
Yeah, Javante Davis.
What's Mayweather's fight? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, you might be thinking about the Mike Tyson card. I did watch that one too, but and we can talk about that. I actually forgot about that. We could talk about that if you wanted to. I completely forgot about it. But I was talking about the Javante Davis card because on that night, UFC just coincidentally ended right around the time when the Gervonta Davis card was starting up. So it was really nice. It might have even been the main card, or it was probably like maybe like six fights left of like the boxing card, which was like a good amount of fights by the time the UFC main event had just wrapped up. So that was really dope. So, I mean, maybe we'll get lucky, and maybe I'll get lucky this week and be able to not have to switch back and forth, like fight for fight. I mean, I will do that. I will very proudly switch back and forth, fight for fight, and watch, you know, a boxing fight, then go back over and watch, one of these guys in the UFC. But we'll see what happens. Did you want to talk about the Mike Tyson performance, or did you not want to talk about it?
Hey, well, let's do that at the end of the show. But look, I think boxing, I think Dana White, being that he's trying to get into boxing, I think he has kind of, I don't want to keep using this word, but I mean this phrase because I use it concerning Michael Chandler, but I think he might have kind of like an under the table agreement with boxing that the UFC main event would end probably just in time for the boxing main event to start, so that people can watch both, because it seems like that's the way it's been working here lately. Because if you look at the Gervonta Davis, the UFC event ended, and I think the Gervonta Davis fight started just in time. And then last week, the Anthony Smith fight, ended, the Anthony Smith card ended just in time for the Mike Tyson and them event to start. So, I think he might have kind of like an under-the-table agreement with them. So, when it comes to combat sports, if that's the case, that's good. Everybody helping each other out for us business-wise. I think boxing right now is trying to find its legs during the pandemic, whereas the UFC has been basically – off and running since probably 1 month after the pandemic jumped off. So, like you said, it's a good time to be a combat sports fan. And we're not even going to talk about wrestling, because wrestling just been doing their thing the whole time too. So, it's just good if you're a combat sports fan.
And I just want to point out too, actually, I'm not going to point anything out. Evan, do you have anything to say on this topic here? I don't want to make you feel excluded.
No, you're good. I don't have much to really say about the whole, Tyson Jones thing. It was fun. The UFC event was also fun. I'm good. Just keep it going.
Cool, bro. So UFC, honestly, I'll say this. I know you guys probably want to talk about this weekend's card. I really don't have much interest in this weekend's UFC card. I probably won't even be checking for this weekend's card too much. I'm more interested in the boxing, but I mean, if there's certain fights that you guys want to talk about, then feel free to do that. I'm kind of already looking ahead to next weekend's Tony Ferguson. There's certain fights you want to talk about, Evan, on this weekend's card, feel free. You could tell me about some of these fights to look out for.
Let's talk about last week's card real quick, though, before we jump to this week's.
Okay.
I was definitely shocked that Anthony Smith won the way he won, because I just didn't feel like he should have been back in the octagon. I still feel he needs to work on his body as far as being a true 205er. But he dominated Devin, man. And I thought Devin would come in there and put on a grappling exhibition on him. But, man, he looked like he was fighting out of his league. Maybe he wasn't ready to fight a top five guy, and it showed on Saturday.
I have to agree on that one. no disrespect to Devin Clark. You know, I feel bad for him. I feel, you know, he's not, he's, you know, he's prime age of 30. You know, he trains out of Jackson Wink. You know, he's not some just some slouch, you know, coming off the couch or stuff. But he's just unable to win against, like, he gets the big opportunities and he just can't get the W. Like, he had a chance to fight Jan and he got choked out. He fought Alexander Rakic, got stopped. Ryan Spann finished, and then Anthony Smith finished. Like, I feel bad. I feel bad for the guy. I think he just seems like a guy that just might be fighting just to fight and just doesn't want enough as – because when he got submitted, I was looking at his reaction. He just – obviously he looked bummed out and upset about what happened, but it's like you just got a main event opportunity against, you know, a top 10 light heavyweight. You know, you got to use that opportunity.
Yeah. And the thing is with young guys like him, there's only so many opportunities UFC going to give you to showcase your skills, to show that you belong, to show that you might be an up-and-coming star. And every time they done put him in there, he's failed in, like, out in, like, dramatic fashion. It's like, can you at least go to the scorecards, you know, go to the judges? And he just gets finished, man. It's like, you know, I normally never say this about fighters that's with Winklejohn because they've had so much success. Maybe it's time for him to, you know, maybe go to another team. You know, try some different things. Sometimes when fighters change camps, you know, it normally lights a fire under them. You know, they look better. Just like Cody Garbrandt looked against, although it was against, I can't even think of it, Ahsan Sal, you know, he did look good in that fight, although I still don't think he can defend the right hook still, but he did look good. So maybe Devin might need a change of scenery and see how it plays out for him.
I agree. And I don't mean to, you know, jump in. I want to let Keys get his moment. But, no, it's a good point. You know, the Jackson Wink opinion, you know, Jackson Wink is said to be, like, you know, one of the, you know, if not the best team, you know, camp in MMA. You know, you got John Jones, Holly Holm, Yoel Romero, plenty of others. But most notably that I just realized, Cub Swanson was actually part of Jackson Wink until 2018. Apparently, I don't know if he's still there. I have a feeling that he might have switched camps because I saw an interview that he switched camps, which is interesting. You know, you think about it, it's the best camp in the world, and you know, like you said, that change in scenery. You gotta get a change, gotta take a change and see what happens. But yeah, Keys, have you got anything?
Yeah, I mean, well, on the first point, I mean, I think Devin Clark, I mean, you guys said about how, you know, there's only so many chances the UFC is going to give you. I mean, in terms of, you know, in terms of that, you know, and Devin Clark, I feel like he's still going to have, like, many more opportunities because I feel like this fight, he wasn't even, I mean, when you really look at that, he wasn't even meant to be in this fight. Like, he's going to have many more chances to, I mean, because you could easily see Anthony Smith was a couple notches above him when you look at that. I mean, I personally didn't think, like Lee said, you thought, you know, Devin Clark would go in there and put on a show versus Anthony Smith. I mean, I did too, just looking at Anthony Smith's, you know, last two performances, and those were both fights where I want to say I, you know, had picked Lionheart to win, and he, you know, he lost. In dominant fashion, he lost in dominant fashion. He got dominated badly versus Glover, and I definitely thought that he was going to run through Glover. I mean, if you look at Glover from 2017 and put, you know, 2017 Glover versus Anthony Smith, you would definitely think Anthony Smith is going to run through him, you know, in a round, you know. But it's 2020 has been a different year for Anthony Smith. has been a tough year. I mean, he also had the burglar situation, you know, with that too. So that it probably impacted him. But it seemed like he finally turning back around and kind of turning on, you know, he's turning back into, you know, I feel like the fighter that he was, you know, previously, probably, you know, a year, maybe two ago, you know, getting back to where he was. And, you know, 2018, Anthony Smith really probably getting back to where he was. And I feel like Devin Clark will have more opportunities. I feel like Anthony Smith, I mean, he wasn't meant to, you know, he got put into a main event spot in a five-round fight. I mean, Given only lasted one round, but he was supposed to be, I think they were supposed to be the co-main event, I think. And then they got moved to the main event. It's hard for me to tell nowadays if guys were supposed to fight each other or if they just got moved from the prelims to the main card or from the co-main event to the main event, because it seems like fights are being juggled so often and people are testing positive for COVID and then they're getting a new opponent. But I don't even know who was supposed to fight who. So I actually thought that Devin Clark was a replacement for somebody else that was supposed to fight Lionheart in the first place. But then when I look at it, I think they actually were matched up, and that was the actual fight, and they just weren't supposed to be in the main event. But I think Devin Clark got that spotlight a little bit too soon, but I think he will get more chances, and he will show his skills going forward. I just think Lionheart is getting back to where he was, you know, 2018 status, and he's having that resurgence. You know, he'll probably look good in the next fight too. And then on the other point is, man, I lost my train of thought. What was the other thing? I forget. What was the other thing that you guys were saying? I got so deep into that.
No, the other point I was saying was, you know, I know he trains at Winklejohn.
That was it. So I wanted to say is that, you guys, Devin Clark trains at Jackson Wink?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so. But so okay, so my point on that was, I don't know about Jackson Wink at this point in the game, because I feel like they just have a name, but when you really look at their record, though, I mean, everybody at Jackson Wink has been losing. Like, I'm pretty sure Alistair Overeem is a Jackson Wink fighter too, and he was losing, you know, for a while. He was really up and down. I mean, he's really having a resurgence now. He's like great in his last, I want to say he's on like a 4-fight win streak, but maybe even a 5-fight win streak, but he just kind of came back around, and he was losing. He was pretty up and down. He was, you know, getting kind of embarrassed in high-level fights, you know, and you can, you know, look at the Stipe fight, look at the Ngannou fight, look at, you know, the Rosenstruck fight. I mean, he was looking pretty bad, you know, for a while, and he just started resurging. But if you look at everybody else, I mean, Holly Holm isn't a high-level fighter to me. I mean, she has probably lost, like, four out of her, like, last five fights when you look at that. I mean, she pretty much fought all title fights and lost all of them. She won the title one time and was in probably four, if not five, title fights. So that's kind of sad. John Jones is probably the only one who consistently wins out of that entire gym. Everybody else either loses consistently or they're very up and down. I would say Overeem's probably in the up and down section of that. He's having a resurgence, but he has been up and down. John Jones probably the only one out of their gym that I would say maintains that status that they have of being one of the best gyms. But I think it's the way they work with him personally, knowing that he's one of the greatest. And I think John Jones really holds up the Jackson Wink name. Besides that, I really don't. I bet you if you pull out their record of their fighters, they probably, I don't even think they would have a winning record. Those fighters lose a lot.
I don't know, man. I mean, you got. I mean, Holly Holm. That Jermaine Durandamy fight, I still think she won that fight. Although, you know, she didn't get a decision, I still think she won that fight. You know, John Jones. Cerrone was there. Dotson was there. You know,
man, all those guys, all those guys have been losing though. John Dawson's been losing, you know, a lot of fights. Cerrone's been losing a lot of fights. These are all guys
but you saying they probably got a losing record. I'm saying that they that I think they win more than they lose.
Yeah, but I'm talking about I'm talking about as of recently though. I'm not talking about overall. I'm saying if you take like their last, I would bet if you take their last 100 fights of the Jackson Wink fighters as a gym, their last 100 fights total, I would think they have more losses than wins.
I'm gonna look that up and we'll revisit this next week.
Yeah, we're gonna have to revisit it next week because I'm really interested to know, because I'm telling you they lose all the time. And did you say Yoel Romero is a Jackson Wink fighter too?
That's what Evan said.
And Yoel Romero's looked terrible. If we just gotta be honest here, he's looked terrible. He's been losing left and right too. I mean, I thought he was awful versus Paulo Costa. I didn't even think he was in that fight. People were saying that they thought he should have won the decision. I don't know what fight they saw. I didn't even think he was in it. I didn't think he was in it at all. I thought he basically was surviving there versus Paulo Costa, to be honest. Now, I wouldn't even want to see him fight again.
I think Yoel is at a point in his career that, man, it's like I don't know whether or not he's serious about fighting. Because the Izzy fight just – I couldn't even believe what he was doing in the Izzy fight. And then the Costa fight, he wouldn't initiate action in the Costa fight. And then he talked trash the whole time about Paulo. So, we got to see what Yoel does. I think maybe his next move should be up to 205. But I just read something on ESPN that I got to broach to you guys. And I'm going to read y'all what the headline says. Hold on, let me go back. I'm going to go back to what the headline says. Ex-champ Dillashaw wants title fight right away upon his return.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Hold on, Keys. Evan, what's your first thoughts about this, bro?
Evan, help.
Listen. The thing is, I've known
about
this.
Talk to the people, Evan. I can't do it. Talk to the people.
For a while.
Oh.
When it came out that TJ got popped, you know, for PEDs or whatever, he immediately said that. He was like, when I come back, I want a free title shot. And he tried to, like, justify it by saying, like, he didn't lose the belt. You know, it was stripped. And it's like, nah, son, you cheated. Like, you don't get crap when you come back. Like, he doesn't deserve anything. That is a disgusting article. I'm gonna have to read the article, but just that headline needs to take a hike, because he knows he doesn't deserve a title shot. He knows he has to fight Corey Sandhagen or even Frankie Edgar. Like, him being in a fight that has anything to do with championship gold is absolutely absurd. I'm sorry. You're the champion, and I get it. But no. No. Sorry.
All right, Keith. Floor is yours.
So the timeline of it is interesting, because I've been paying attention a little bit, and somebody posted a picture of this, and they mentioned how, now I didn't fact check this, but they mentioned how whose suspension is it? Peter Yan. Okay, so Yan was supposed to fight Aljamain Sterling, I think on next weekend's card. I want to say that was next weekend's card, and that's why you end up having Figueiredo and Moreno, because that replaced that fight. So I think we were supposed to see Yan fight next weekend, Yan versus Sterling. I'm pretty sure. Unless it was – I'm not sure, but I'm looking it up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so Lee's going to look it up. He's going to hold me down. He's going to look it up. But I'm pretty sure they were supposed to be next weekend's main event. But anywho, the fact is this. They said that Peter Yan, it was for undisclosed reasons why he fell out or why he backed out of the Sterling fight. They didn't come out and say why. If they did say why, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a reason why. So I don't know if he was injured. I don't know if he tested positive for COVID. I don't know if he, you know, had, you know, some kind of like port issues or visa issues. I don't know if he was traveling somewhere or what happened, or he got stuck in another country because we're in a pandemic. You know, that could very well have happened. I don't know what happened, but he backed out of the fight, and they said that his timeline, his team said that his timeline of when they were targeting a return for Peter Yan was February. And we know at the same time that TJ Dillashaw's suspension is up in January because he had a 2-year suspension. So people were speculating online, and you know, whether the UFC would make that fight for both of their return. And they put a meme, and they had Dillashaw's face, and they said, "You guys don't think the UFC would," and it just had like a whole bunch of dots, and it just had like those two like statements like next to each other, like, "Oh, he's going to come back February, Dillashaw's going to come back in January. You guys don't think the UFC would," and then they just had all these dots, and it was just like, "Yes, we do think they would. We absolutely think they would. They would make Yan versus Dillashaw." I'm not saying I hope this happens, but I know from the history that repeats itself, the UFC would do this. They would make Yan versus Dillashaw, and they would skimp. They would snub Aljamain Sterling of the title shot, even though he was already getting the title shot. But they would do that, and you guys know they would do that. So I'm not hoping they do it, but there's speculation of it.
Well, my stance is this. I don't think the UFC going to do it. I think the UFC will probably make TJ fight at least one or at the most two fights to get back in the title hunt. I know the UFC don't care about the fans and what the fans really want, but I think Aljamain has definitely earned his title shot, and they've, excuse my French, dicked around with him long enough. So I think he will get this on the title shot. And I did write about this, that I think that I thought that TJ's Dillashaw return fight will be against Frankie Edgar. And actually, I'm looking pretty good with this. But at the same time, Frankie did say he wanted to fight Corey Sandhagen. So it all depends on how the UFC go about doing the matchmaking. Me personally, I would probably book TJ versus Frankie because you got two former champs going against each other. And, you know, as far as marketability, that's always good marketability to have two former champs fighting. But as far as TJ saying that he won a media title fight, bruh, it's not going to happen. The UFC, they probably don't trust you still. You're going to have to earn the UFC trust back, and he's going to have to wait. As simple as that.
Evan, go ahead, bro.
Nah, man, I'm the same. I just put out a tweet. It hurts my brain that he's even suggesting that he deserves a title. Now, I want to make that clear. In the article, you know, I took out two pieces of it, you know, be specific. You know, he hasn't necessarily said that he deserves a title shot. But, you know, I want that title fight right away. That's my belt. I want to come back to a title fight. You don't get rewarded for cheating. He cheated. That's the end of discussion. There's nothing left to talk about. You cheated. You took things to help, and that's it. And you lost your last fight. So, yes, it was at 125, but regardless, no, sorry. Like I said, he's fighting either Frankie or Corey. Those are his options. And I'm not joking. If they're going to give him a title fight, I don't even know what to say to that.
No, I'm going to tell you what you're going to say to it. You're going to be pissed off, but who cares? the UFC is at the point now, they don't care what we as the fans want as fights. They don't care. Their matchmaking has no rhyme or reason. It's what they think will sell to the public. And that's the bottom line.
I like how Lee said, no, here's what you're going to say to it. He said, you know what you're going to say. You know what you're going to say to it. Well, I made me laugh out loud. That was good. Man, I've been having too much fun on our show lately. Too much fun. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Hey, Keys, can I transition to one more thing? I know you hosting, but
yeah,
I
no, go ahead. We don't even. Nah, you're good. No, go transition. We don't even need to give that any more time. All right,
man.
To be honest,
you text me about the Edwards fight, man. And man, when I actually saw the news about Edwards fight being called off because he got COVID, man, my heart hurts for Edwards, man, because this guy has been trying to get a fight. Nobody will fight him. And then he finally gets a main event spot, and then he gets COVID, man. It's just like, damn. I just feel bad for Leon Edwards, man. Hopefully they'll just move the Edwards tomorrow fight to another card, maybe another UFC Fight Night card, or maybe they could put it on the January 23rd card with Conor. But, man, I just think Edwards, man, it's like he's snake-bitten right now. And if you're a fan, even if you're not a fan of his, man, you got to feel sorry for the guy, man.
Go ahead, Evan.
No, I've been a fan of Edwards for a little bit. You know, I didn't really care for him, you know, a little bit earlier in his career. But I started noticing, you know, he just kept winning. He kept winning and just doing it right. And he's winning against guys that I wanted to win, but he won. And I respect it, you know, when you win, respect it. And he is getting the shortest end of the stick when it comes to, you know, UFC gold. Like, you have Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal, Hamza Chimaev, Wonder Boy, Geoff Neal, or Jeff Neal. I don't like calling. Keep saying Geoff. He keeps getting screwed out of these major opportunities because of his boring style and, you know, lack of promotion. But, you know, as we all know, he got COVID. So, you know, I just want to wish him, you know, speedy recovery. Hope he comes back, you know, better than ever. And I hope they do rebook the Chimaev fight.
But the thing is,
so,
though, just
yeah, no,
hold on.
Lee, go ahead.
Hold
go
on,
ahead,
King.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to push back on something Evan said, and I'm gonna let Evan probably come back at me. I don't think Edwards is a boring fighter, though. I think Edwards, if you look at how he fights, and if you go back to watching John Jones early in his career, they basically fight the same style. They kind of sort of feel you out a little bit, and then they start implementing their game plan to strategically and tactically break you down, and then he uses his elbows as a weapon. He uses his lankiness to his advantage. I don't think he's a boring fighter. I just think there aren't enough eyes on him where that people can actually appreciate his skill.
Well, first off, I just want to say I should have put in quotes, but I don't think Leon's boring. That was me mocking, you know, the fans of the, you know, of MMA. I think he's boring, but he's not. I understand what you were saying. You know, he's you got me. No, I like his style. You know, it's technical, his clinch work, the elbows, you know, the grappling. He's a well-rounded fighter. He's not looking to get those finishes. He doesn't need to. You know, you look at Usman. Usman's not going out getting finishes. He's just dominating people. You know, dominating Woodley, dominating Masvidal. The Colby fight was close, but he got the finish. Prior to that, you know, he was dominating everyone. You don't need to be a finisher. You don't have to have this amazing, you know, style. Because, like, imagine if Chimaev, Hamza Chimaev, you know, he's ragged on these people, but imagine he doesn't get the finishes. Imagine the ref just lets it drag on, you know, for you know, the three rounds. Are people really going to care? You know, are people still going to like that because of, you know, how dominant he is? They should.
Nope.
Because
nope.
Dominance.
Because people would look at him as being a Musashi type fighter. Nope. The
yeah.
UFC didn't care for Musashi style.
Nope. They didn't.
All right, Keys, jump in, bro.
All right, I was trying to let you guys rock. You know, I mean, I do take my time when I give my take, so I want to let you guys have that back and forth. You know, it's a healthy back and forth. I'd love to see it. And, you know, for that, I just want to say, I mean, more in the – my spiel with that is more in the bigger picture. Because, you know, Leon Edwards, I can't speak on that point because I've actually never seen him fight. I've to this day, never seen Leon Edwards fight. And the only, you know, the first time I'd ever even heard his name before was when I heard that Donald Cerrone was going to fight him, and then they did fight. But I didn't even see that fight, even when it did happen. I did, that didn't make me start watching him. I still didn't watch him. But I just heard of him that was the first time, and then, you know, given he hasn't fought that many times, I mean, in the past couple of years, I feel like he really hasn't fought much. But that leads to my next point, is I feel like none of these guys want to fight Leon Edwards, and I don't understand why. And I think overall, in the welterweight division, I feel like there's just so much politics in the welterweight division, and I think that's the reason why in 2021, the lightweight division is going to take back the top spot as the number one division in the UFC, whereas in the past, you know, year or two, I feel like the welterweight division, with all the fights that have been being put on at welterweight, I feel like there was definitely, like, welterweight kind of took that spot a little bit. You know, they might have edged the lightweight division and kind of took that top spot because they were so exciting. I mean, you've had Usman and Woodley fought, you know, Usman and Covington fought, you know, all these, you know, Edwards and Dos Anjos fought, you know, Masvidal fought, like, you know, three or four guys or whatever. You know, he went on a run there. You know, all these different guys are fighting at welterweight. It was so exciting. But I just think the problem is that no one wants to fight Leon Edwards. You know, no one wants to fight Khamzat Chimaev now. And it's like those are two guys like that pretty much had to fight each other because they are both guys that no one else in the division wants to fight. So then they had to turn to fighting each other. And now they still can't fight each other because Leon tests positive. And now it's like you almost know that no one else is going to take the fight versus Chimaev because they're scared of him. Like, I feel like everyone's scared to lose versus this guy, which is, like, understandable because he looks good. I mean, I would argue at the same time, who has he really fought, which I feel like is a valid argument. He really hasn't fought anybody. He hasn't even fought a ranked opponent. But that's besides the point. I still believe these guys are scared to fight him because they're scared of what they have seen from him. And I feel like Leon Edwards, a lot of guys, they just politics with him. They just say politic and they say he's not a big enough name. You know, guys like Jorge Masvidal, they won't fight Leon Edwards, but, you know, he'll slap him backstage, you know, for YouTube, but he won't fight him in the octagon. I don't understand how or why, because if you could make headlines and your name gets bigger from that situation, why would you turn around and say your name couldn't get bigger from actually making that fight happen in the octagon? I just don't understand it. I feel like Masvidal should be stepping up right now and fighting Leon Edwards, if you ask me. I feel Chimaev, if you ask me, or either one of the guys. He should have already took the fight with Leon before Chimaev, you know, before the fight came together. But now I think Masvidal should fight Chimaev because he's right there. I mean, I don't know whether or not he's injured, but, I mean, he just fought Kamaru Usman. How much injury could you possibly take? I mean,
I think
honestly,
they're going to do the Colby fight.
Politics.
Yeah. But
you
know what, though,
is now
man?
Called But the 170, Lee, is now called the politics division.
True.
And you know what? That's a true point, man. Because
how long did Woodley and Covington, and you know I love Woodley, but really, how long did Woodley and Covington do the politics and they went back and forth saying that, you know, claiming that the other one wouldn't sign the contract? They went back and
almost
forth and said
years.
That for like 3 years.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah, okay. Almost 2 years. I said 3 years. I was wrong. But 2 years is still a long time to go back and forth claiming that the other guy wouldn't sign the contract. That fight was so long in the making just because of that. And you can't tell me there was something else happening there. How is it possible that you guys just couldn't fight for 2 years? Everybody was just injured the whole time? That's crazy.
But that just goes back to the UFC and the matchmaking. Start giving these guys the option of, okay, would you take this fight? No. In the old days, the UFC would be like, next up, we got Tito versus Chuck. That's the next fight we got coming up. You always fought your way up. There was no dipping and dodging like there is today. It's like now the UFC, they allow guys to accept fights and turn down fights. In the old days, when it was for Tito, Dana, and I can't think of the other guy's name right now, who was called the matchmaker, they didn't do that, man. You fought the next guy. But now they letting these guys dictate who they going to fight, when they going to fight. You can't do that because then you get what's happening at 170. Nobody wants to fight Edwards. They'll probably get a top 15 guy to come in and fight Chimaev instead of a top 5 guy fighting him, unless Masvidal comes in at the last minute and say he'll fight him or something like that. But you know, man, you can't let the fighters dictate who they're going to fight and when they're going to fight because you get this part of the game, and this is the part of the game that turns fans off. And this is the part of the game that turns fans off to boxing, and you don't want the same thing to happen to your sport that happened to boxing, where people start seeing the top guys not fighting the top guys, the top girls not fighting the top girls. They rather fight down or, you know, take fights that stylistically matches up better with their style or whatever. So, you know, I think the UFC has to get back in the pocket of being a dictator when it comes to setting up matches and fights.
Yeah, well, I think you should have. I mean, one thing that I like about boxing, and I'm not sure how often that they stick to this, is, you know, these WBC and IBF organizations, they have like mandatory challenges they determine.
Yep.
And that's one thing that I like. I don't know how strict that is or if they always follow by it. You know, if the promoters, you know, if the, you know, fighters, managers and whatnot, they abide by that. But I mean, they have mandatory challenges that they determine. I mean, they had, I want to say it was Dillon White. I want to say Dillon White fought. Dillon White's last fight. I want to say I think he got knocked out his last fight, but I think that fight was to determine the winner of that was the mandatory challenger to Anthony Joshua, I think, or the mandatory challenger for Tyson Fury's belt. I want to say it was one of those two. It was in the heavyweight division. I want to say it was that fight. Lee, you could probably tell me if it was or not. But I've seen that type of clause many times in boxing fights. The winner, they'll say, now, you know, this person, when that person wins the fight, they'll put out a press release and they'll say, now so-and-so, you know, they'll say Derek Chisora or, you know, they'll say Stephen Thompson, you know, if it were the UFC, they'll say is now the mandatory challenger to fight for, you know, Kamaru Usman's welterweight title. Like, that's what they would say. And I think the UFC should start getting on things like that. You know, when you have guys, like, I feel like once you enter, like, the top 5, or maybe even when you enter the top 10 in a division, you should not be able to pick and choose who you're going to fight anymore. Like, once you get to the top of the top, there's no more of that, because guys are just doing politics, and then the division sits there for month and month and month, and even years and years. We saw it, because Woodley and Covington didn't fight for 2 years, and we should have got that fight years ago, and we got it, I mean, honestly, pretty much at, like, the tail end of Woodley's career. You got Covington versus, like, a burnt-out Tyron Woodley. You should have fought him way before, but, you know, I won't get into that on this show. Me and Lee can debate about that another time.
Yeah, man. But you know, man, it's just that, man, it's you don't want to fall in the trap of letting fighters run their fight schedules, because once you do that, basically you're handing the sport over to the fighters, and fighters always going to do what's best for them, not what's best for the sport.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a long shot, but I hope that the UFC would start to, I mean, in the next, like, 2 to 3 years, preferably, would start to implement, like, you know, more strict, like, especially when it's the rankings, Dean guys. You know, it would be nice to just see it company-wide, just say, okay, this is the fight, and you either take the fight or you're going to sit out, you know what I mean, or whatever. Or you're going to take the fight, or, you know, you might not have a contract anymore. That might, maybe that comes down to it. You either take the fight, or, you know, they start having guys on, like, you know, those type of open contracts where it's like they could terminate the contract at any time.
Well, all right, we got like a couple minutes left in the show. So let's jump into it, man. Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson, Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson, man. I'll start with you, Evan. What did you think about the event, man? What did you like? What did you dislike? Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Like, I was switching back and forth between the event and the UFC card. It was cool. You know, I will say, I don't personally like Jake Paul. I just not a fan of him, but I respect his, you know, respect him for getting in the boxing ring twice, and, you know, risk getting, you know, knocked out in front of all the people, and knowing how many people want to see him get knocked out. He looked like he actually took the training seriously.
Yes,
and
he did.
For that, I respect it. I really do. I respect it, you know, in a combat way. For him to, you know, take it seriously and not just, you know, fool around. To whereas Robinson, I watched the videos and it looked like he was taking, you know, he was taking it seriously, doing mitt work and stuff. And I thought, you know, he had a chance, but it's like he just threw out all of his experience that he learned, you know, in those few months, and that was it. But as a whole event, you know, it was cool. Personally, you know, the singing, you know, the singing stuff in between the fights, I think was cool, like, the first two times, but then, like, every time, it just kind of
got
to a point where I was just getting tired of it. And then, like I said, it was fun. It was very cool to see Mike Tyson live, you know. Technically, I'm part of the younger generation in a sense. I'm only 23, so obviously I did not get to see Tyson live. So in that aspect, it was very cool. I'm very thankful for that. And I guess we'll see what's next. It appears him and Holyfield might go again.
Oh, my God. All right, well, I'm going to go next, and I'm going to let Click Keys close this segment out. I thought Nate Robinson looked terrible. I don't know who he trained with, what they trained on. When he first came out and he kind of charged across the ring with his hands spread apart with no defensive posture, I just knew it was going to end terribly for him after that. Jake Paul, I think he's really becoming serious about the craft. you could just tell by little nuances that he did in the ring as far as his hand positioning, his footwork, you know, the way he dodged Nate when Nate would rush in. And then when he hit that overhand right, for the first knockdown, everybody said it was behind his head. The only reason it was behind Nate's ear is because Nate ducked, and it just happened to land that way because of the way Nate ducked and moved his head. But when he knocked him out, he actually took a step back. He took a half step back, connected with that right hook, and it was like nighty-night. You know, people saying that Nate got in there to, as a form of income and all this and all that. But at the same time, like Snoop Dogg said on the broadcast, there's two things you can't play with. One is boxing, and the other one is Snoop's pimping. So, but I thought Mike Tyson looked really good, especially being 54. I thought he looked really, really good. He looked in shape. His hand speed was still there. But I think him and Roy Jones may have had, like, some behind-the-scenes talks where Mike probably told him that he wouldn't hit him in the head or in the face or something, because I don't remember Tyson landing too many head shots. But I know he was eating Roy Jones' body up. And the first time he hit Roy in the body, Roy just started holding on the rest of the fight. But I thought Tyson definitely looked good. I don't think I would be overwhelmed to see him versus Holyfield. Although, you know, some people want to see it. I think me personally with this Legends League, give me Vladimir Klitschko versus Lennox Lewis. A fight that, you know, that was controversial at the time. Klitschko was actually doing damage to Lennox. And Klitschko actually basically forced Lennox into retirement. Give me that fight. I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. I just don't know how I feel about, you know, Tyson versus Holyfield 3, I guess. But, Keys, how did you feel about your boy Mike Tyson? And more importantly, how did your dad feel about watching Mike Tyson in the ring again?
So I didn't end up getting to watch it with my dad. He didn't end up being able to stay up for it. He goes to bed really early, and he wasn't able to stay up to make it to the fights. So I didn't technically get to watch it with him, but so I don't know how he felt. I know he was excited leading up to it, leading up to the day, but I didn't get to watch it with him on the night of. But how I felt about the event, I mean, I'll say this. I want to mention one thing real quick. Badu Jack was the co main event. That was the first fight. I was actually mad. The first fight that was where I started watching. And the fight before that was the fourth fight down on that, the Tyson fight at the top. That kid was from Mass. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was from Worcester. And I guess he won by knockout, and I missed it. So I don't know his name off the top of my head, but shout out to that kid.
It was a good fight.
He was the fight before Bobby Jack. And shout out to him. I don't know his name. If I did, I'd shout it out. But shout out to him. He's supposedly from Worcester, so he's from Worcester, Mass. Not too far. I mean, it actually is kind of far from me, but not too far. He's still Boston to me. But shout out to him. The Bobby Jack fight, that guy got, Bobby Jack, the guy, he shouldn't have been in there with him. Bobby Jack, was just lighting him up that entire time. And that guy definitely had heart and had a chin, and I salute him. But Bobby Jack just made him, he just outclassed him so badly. And then the fight after that, you had the YouTube Jake Paul and Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson, I don't want to see him box ever again. That guy, he looked like he hadn't even trained for that fight. He looked like, to me, he thought he was in a street fight. Either that or he thought he was in a UFC fight, because he looked like he was going for takedowns. Like, there was points in there where I thought he was shooting for takedowns. Like, did you guys not think that at any point? Like, I swear, you go back and watch the footage. Nate Robinson went 0-2 in that fight, possibly 0-3 on takedown attempts. He tried. I know he tried. And I'm not talking about when he got knocked down. I'm talking about before that, when he just was charging in at Jake Paul. I'm telling you, he shot for a takedown. He thought he was in an MMA fight. That's what he did. So Nate Robinson was off the sauce, man. He was Nate Robinson. Somebody slipped something in his drink or something, and he was off the Hennessy or something before that fight, because he looked like a fish out of water in there, man. He looked terrible. Like, I feel like if I went in there and boxed Jake Paul, like, I probably would have looked more like a boxer than Nate Robinson did. And I never even, you know, I've been in a couple fights. I never trained boxing ever. And I'm sure Nate Robinson trained for a couple months at least for this fight, probably even longer than that. So, yeah, I never want to see him box again. And Jake Paul is actually a decent boxer. So I also saw that Ben Askren, I saw the headline for it. I didn't click the article, but, you know, maybe I'll read it later. Ben Askren was, like, saying that he would love to fight Jake Paul, and, like, you know, they put a quote and it said, beat up a YouTuber. And then in my head, I thought to myself, if that was in the UFC, Ben Askren could maybe take him down and dominate him in a wrestling match. But in a boxing match, Jake Paul would devastate him. He would devastate him. Ben Askren has no stand-up. He has no stand-up. His striking was all ground strikes. Like, when he was in one championship, like, I feel like most of his striking was done when he was already in dominant position. He was already in top position. He was landing strikes. He never had that much of a boxing. Like, he had stand-up, but especially when he got to the UFC, he was completely washed, and he looked terrible. If you try to look at his striking when him and Damian Maia had to stand up, and they were both afraid of each other's ground game, so they had a stand-up fight. Damian Maia, you can tell he doesn't strike, but he looked a lot better, you know, than Ben Askren. Ben Askren tried to throw a spinning back fist, and, you know, he thought he was John Jones, you know, from 2013, throwing a spinning back fist, and he looked terrible. He looked like he was going to fall over when he threw that spinning back fist. He looked like he had no balance at all. So that oh my God, please, they got to stop it with this. This celebrity boxing thing is killing me. And Jake Paul is actually a decent boxer. But I need to see him versus, like, someone who actually is a boxer. No more of these, like, celebrity fights, because he's going to beat all these guys. He actually trains. So there's no point of putting him versus these kind of guys. And next point of emphasis is, I think Mike Tyson, I thought, looked really good. I mean, I'm not a boxing expert like Lee is. I'm a boxing novice. I'm still learning the game. So I don't – maybe I don't even know what a good boxer looks like. But, I mean, to me, I didn't really understand Roy Jones Jr.'s style. I don't really understand, like, his fighting style. I couldn't figure out, like, what it was that he was, like, succeeding in the fight. Like, when they had the post-fight interview, he said he felt like he outboxed Mike Tyson on the outside. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, in my head, I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. He was boxing from the outside. I just don't understand. I feel like he was another one. I feel like Roy Jones was just surviving in there. Like, and the reason why Mike Tyson, like, I thought Mike Tyson, I had Mike Tyson winning every single round. I didn't even give Roy Jones one round because I really didn't think he was even in the fight. I feel like he was just surviving the fight. And luckily he was able to take those shots to the body. And he didn't get KO'd from those shots to the body. You know, he was taking heavy shots and a lot of heavy shots to the body. So I'm surprised he didn't take a knee, at least, from the body shots. So salute to Roy Jones for that. But I don't want to see Roy Jones Jr. fight again either, because I don't think he looked like he didn't want to be in there to me. That looked like a man that was not prepared for the type of fight he got himself into, and really didn't even want to be boxing. Like, I feel like he probably just wanted to get paid, which is totally understandable. But it was a charity fight, so I don't know what stipulation is with that. But either way, I think he was in above his head there. I don't want to see him fight again. Mike Tyson, I thought, won every round. If he threw those shots to the body, to the head, I think he would have knocked out Roy Jones within two rounds, possibly even within the first round.
Yeah, man. It's just something about seeing 50-year-olds in a boxing ring that just kind of like turns me off. I mean, I understand that, you know, these guys love the sport. It's kind of hard to walk away from. But at some point in time, you have to become a realist and realize that your body and your hands and everything just isn't there no more, and you got to know when to walk away. And I know it was an exhibition, but at the same time, those guys didn't have on headgear. They were fighting in boxing gloves. The ring was a little smaller, which means they wanted more action. So as far as the fight, I'm kind of with Evan on this. At first, you know, when Wiz Khalifa opened the show, it was good to go. I could have done without French Montana and YG. But, you know, you could have just had Wiz and Snoop perform. That would have been enough for me. But I understand the what they're trying to get across. You know, they want people to be like, well, this is a form of entertainment. Although we're going to have fights, we want you to have a good time, you know, in between fights and all this good stuff. But I just don't know. I just don't feel good about seeing 50-year-olds in there, you know, trying to relive their dreams in the boxing ring. It just takes me back to when Muhammad Ali got in there and fought Larry Holmes, man. And Muhammad Ali was definitely not Muhammad Ali. And he just looked really, really bad. And Larry Holmes just took it to him. And it was just a bad look overall. So, but, yeah, man, I'm kind of – but this weekend coming up should be the fight. You got any predictions, Keys?
For which fight, the Spence Garcia fight, or?
Yes, sir. Spence Garcia.
Man, I really don't. I don't really have a prediction. I don't know these guys. I never seen either one of them fight. I really don't know enough to make a prediction. If I did, I would just be going off of nothing. I don't have any basis to go off of with it, you know. So I was gonna ask you for your prediction.
All right, Evan, what about you? You know, you got any predictions for Spence Jr. and Garcia?
Hey, I know a little smidge of boxing. I know Spence Jr., I know he was in an accident not too long ago.
Yeah.
And I believe this is his first fight back?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the first one. And this is not, you know, not an easy fight for him. This is legit. I just hope that, you know, he is physically ready and mentally ready, and this is not like his competitive, you know, ego wanted to come back and, you know, make sure people know that he's, you know, I'm still the best even after, because that accident was serious. It was no joke.
Yes, it was.
But, you know, I'm going to go with Earl Spence. You know, 30 years young, he's got confidence. He looks like, you know, he's, you know, ready to come back. And like I said, we'll see what happens. But I'll definitely be watching too.
Yeah, man. I'm kind of with you. I thought it was kind of a quick turnaround to get back in the ring after such a horrific accident, where they said he was in a coma for like 2 days or something like that. And then coming back to fight one of the top welterweights in the world. But at the same time, he is the champ. It ain't like you're going to go out and fight the number 10 ranked welterweight. That just isn't going to cut it with the boxing fans. So I'm going to take Spence by decision. I think Danny Garcia is a tough guy. He's not an easy win. He definitely can box. Had a brilliant amateur career. Like I said, he beat Terrence Crawford as an amateur, so he's to be respected. I think it's going to be an action-packed fight. I think for Garcia, he has to get off to a quick start. you have to put a little bit of doubt in the champ's mind, you know, let him know that he's in for a fight. And I think Danny has to come in and establish himself in rounds 1 through 3, just like Lopez did against Lomachenko. You got to come in and put some things on the champ's line. And I think Garcia would do that. And I think it's going to be a good fight. But I'm going to go with Errol Spence winning probably a majority decision. And I still don't think – I think after the fight, he calls out Manny Pacquiao, not Terrence Crawford. And if he does so, you just know that he's dodging Terrence Crawford if he calls out Manny Pacquiao. That's just my two cents about it. And I hope it's a good fight.
Yeah, man. Well, you want to close it?
No, go ahead, bro.
You can close it.
I was about to switch it over to you. All
right, then. Nah, so we pretty much got to like over 9,000 topics tonight, which was totally epic. You know, I love that. We haven't been doing rundowns for like a couple of years now. We stopped, you know, doing rundowns and having pre-ordered topics. You know, we stopped doing that kind of thing, but we always have ideas of what we want to talk about. And that's part of the show. That's one of the, you know, that's one of the most fun parts of the show. And we got to a ton of stuff, and it's really nice. Thank you for everybody who listens. Thank you, Evan, for rocking with us. And you make a great addition to our show. You know, every show, and you did before that too. But you know, even more so now. And like I said, thank you for everybody who listens. And enjoy the fight this weekend, and be safe, and we'll see you next time. That's all I got. Lee, you can close it, or Evan, you can close it, however.
No, I just want to say thank
Evan,
you, guys.
Evan, what's your last words, bro?
Like I said, I just want to say thank you. You know, I appreciate it. I apologize. I'm a little quiet on this one. Just got a few things on the mind, but next time we'll be better, always better, always improving. But, yeah, thank you. Stay safe. We show love. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man. Me and Keys talked about, well, I let Keys know this today. I wrote an article that should hopefully be out this weekend about the UFC and their pay issue. Once it comes out, you know, of course, you guys, you know, I make sure that I retweet and at you guys on it. It's a piece that I'm definitely proud of. I've been thinking about it and working on it probably for about a month. Actually, I had a little bit of writer's block when I was writing it, so I had to separate myself from it for a couple of days. I finished it up today, and it's definitely one of the best things I wrote, so be on the lookout for that. I know a lot of cities about to be on lockdown again, so make sure you're taking care of yourself. Make sure you got all your necessary items that you need in your household. And wear your mask, practice social distancing, wash your hands, and all that good stuff. Live, love, laugh. Hey, live your life to the fullest every day, especially in these trying times. Tell somebody you love them. And, man, you got to find a way to laugh during these times, man. Although these are probably some of the toughest times that some of us have lived through, you got to find some form of entertainment to get your mind off all the bad stuff. So, you know, everybody have a good evening. Thanks for listening. And as always, closing the show out. Peace.